today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, there have been two reports of guest rooms being burglarized while that people were sleeping in them at the Rio Hotel in Las Vegas, and a Texas official is warning local residents to stock up in advance of the upcoming eclipse before all those travelers strip the shelves bare. Details next in the news.
In our Tips to Make You a Smarter Traveler segment at 11:20, we'll talk about how TSA is testing self-serve security stations and explains how they're going to work. Plus, Mark has a few baseball spring training tips.
Chris Elliott is on hand at 11:35 to address a wide variety of travel issues, including exit envy on planes, booking travel on smartphone apps, and how to spot a travel company that's about to kick the bucket.
Details on a Ghostbusters tour of New York City, tips on when and how to fly this summer, and a listener warns about those pesky tip machines, all part of our Odds and Ends segment, coming up at 11:50.
It's a spectacular Saturday, sort of once makes me want to travel. We have information that will help you in your journey. We are the Travel Guys.
On the road again.
Hey there, my friends. Welcome to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Boy, I'll tell you, couldn't be finer weather. I guess spring has finally sprung. We're here to make you a smarter traveler and entertain you along the way. Mark, how have you been? Spring training. You had some really weird weather.
We had a couple of games rained out.
Did you ever get to see any baseball?
We did. The last 3 days, we got to see some baseball, but we had a couple of games get rained. And I saw they had some rain again this past week. So it's been
kind of
an up and down time for spring training. Heading back to Washington D.C. next week for something that I do every year. The travel industry has U.S. Travel puts on a day of lobbying on the Hill. Like every other industry, we have our issues that we want to go back. But unlike most industries, our issues are pretty bipartisan. You know, we'd like to see passport times get shortened, and we'd like to see visa interviews for people who want to come and visit the United States and spend tons of money to be a little bit more reasonable. And there are some things that we ask for that are, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or an independent, you could probably see the wisdom in doing these things. So lobbying for the travel industry, at least in this instance, is a little different than what other people do, because it's not a, you know, it's not a so much which side are you on and how are you going to get it through. It's like, here are some things we need to do. Inbound international travel is the greatest positive balance of trade item. Inbound travel is the best thing that we sell to the rest of the world. We make more money selling international travel than any other product that we produce. And the amount of money that people spend here is much greater than the amount of money that we spend there, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So we take in more than we give out, which is the point of just about any business. So we want to make it easier for international travelers to come here. I'm not talking about, you know, crashing the border or anything, but if you've got the proper paperwork, you should be able to get it completed and be able to visit here in a reasonable amount of time. So that's something that we're going to work on in Washington, D.C. next week. So I'll have a report next week.
Outstanding. Look forward to it. You know, we are a popular travel destination for the rest of the world, and for good reason. So when you see travelers and you kind of recognize that perhaps they're not from this country, show them a little bit of love, you know, make them feel at home, because it not only helps the economy, but it helps you as well.
Yep.
All right. At the top of every Travel Guys radio show, we bring you up to date on the travel news. And with it, once again, here's Mark Hoffman.
This is the strangest story I've seen in a while. There have now been three reports of guests sleeping at the Rio Hotel in Las Vegas who have had their rooms burglarized while they were in them sleeping. And which really defies all logic. I mean, if you were a burglar And, I mean, I feel like there's a piece of information to this story that we don't have. All three of these groups of people, they have no connection to each other. Two of them were couples. One was two guys sharing a room who had gone gamble on a gambling outing in Vegas. They don't seem to have, you'd say, well, this can't be true. This has to be an inside job or something like that. But so far, at least, the first of these reports is over a week old now. So far, none of them seem to line up together. And it's like, how does somebody get into a hotel room and get out, first of all, without waking somebody up or taking the chance that somebody might be awake? And how do they know that? And how do they get in and get out quickly? And it's been brought about online that hotel securities, you know, you lock the door and you use the latch and stuff like that, but that there are ways to get into a room reasonably quickly with tools that major hotel security departments have that will disable those things. One word of wisdom to tell people that came up online that I thought was excellent, and in fact I went out and bought one. If you put a doorstop underneath the door of your hotel room, then no security is going to be able to, unless they can move that doorstop, they can't get into your room. So
no, you just take something flat and you go link 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 underneath the door, and then there goes your doorstop.
Yeah, well, yes, if they know that that's what's keeping the door closed, and they know where the doorstop is underneath.
Well, everybody listens to this show. They're all going to know now.
Yeah, well, anyway, it was just a thought that, you know, for a couple of bucks, it's an extra measure of security. But we'll follow this story. One couple claimed they had $6,000 worth of jewelry and $1,400 in cash taken. The two guys lost $10,000 in cash. So it makes no sense. I almost didn't even want to run the story because I thought and talk about it because I thought people are going to think this is just there's something weird and bizarre about this, and there is. So we'll just stay on it and see what comes of it. See if there are any other reports of it happening or any other hotels, or if something shady comes up that ties these people together or shows that what happened is not what meets the eye. Anyways, if you're going to the Rio Hotel, take a doorstop with you. Here's another equally bizarre story. An official in North Texas, we're about to have an eclipse. It's a little less than a month away now, about 3 weeks, and it's going to be a total eclipse. The next one won't happen until 2044, so people who like this type of stuff are excited about it. My company, Sports Leisure Vacations, we have 70 people traveling with us to Arkansas, we decided was the best spot to watch the eclipse. And so we're taking a bunch of people to Arkansas to be able to see it. Millions of people all over the country. There's a swath of area across the country where the eclipse will be best visible. It will be partially visible almost everywhere. So this guy in Hays County, Texas, says all these people are going to descend on our town, and emergency vehicles won't be able to go where they're going, and people will be in the middle of the street, and it'll be dark. And, of course, this is only going to last for a very short period of time. Three northern Texas counties have declared a state of emergency already, and which will last until the day after the event, just so that they can protect themselves, because all of these travelers are going to descend, and they're going to steal everything and take everything off the shelves in that 6 or 8 minutes where you can't see anything. And well, it's weird.
Yeah, but you've had the opportunity to see partial eclipses,
and
almost full eclipse of the sun, and all it really does is kind of make it kind of semi darker.
Yeah, twilight.
It doesn't even get to be nighttime. This is all crazy talk.
It is, and the guy who's talking about people stocking up. There was one comment he made that did make sense. He said, when people come into town on the day of the eclipse and stuff, it may be a little hard to get around for a while. And that's a possibility in some areas. So you might not be able to go to the grocery store or the drug store on that day easily. So his point was, and it got kind of misconstrued here a little bit and blown up by the internet, but his point was, if you have something important to do on that day, maybe try to do it the day before.
Okay.
But anyhow, It's stock up, folks, because that eclipse could be just a horrible thing. Boeing Airlines has been in the news here for a while, ever since that door flew off of the Alaska Airlines plane up near Portland. The National Transportation Safety Board would like to know which Boeing employees worked on the door panel that fell off the jet, but Boeing's CEO says he can't tell them. Apparently, the airline manufacturer didn't keep records about who worked on that particular plane, and every 30 days, they recycle their security tapes. So they can't see who actually worked on the plane. So more problems for Boeing. I fly on Boeing planes every day. I still contend that the, not every day, but frequently, I'm going to fly on one on a 737 MAX 9 on Monday. I don't even look at it or give it a second thought. Again, like I said, as we've said before on this program, it's a lot more dangerous driving to the airport than it is getting on an airplane. When that switches, then we'll have something to say about it. When it switches, we probably won't have a program. Amtrak is reporting near record passenger levels. They are only 3% below the record number of passengers, which was set pre-COVID in 2019. They say the second half of 2023, they saw a huge boom. The first couple of months of 2024, ridership on Amtrak is continuing to grow and is approaching those 2019 numbers. So if you're a regular Amtrak rider, what that means is don't wait until the last minute to make your reservation, because in some cases, the trains are filling up a little quicker. Despite American Queen's shutdown, American Queen Journey's shutdown, the U.S. River Cruise market keeps on rolling along. American Cruise Lines, which is the largest cruise river cruise line in the country, continues to expand rapidly with new ships and itineraries. Viking Mississippi has a 386 passenger vessel, which it looks, it's kind of gaudy. It doesn't look much like a steamboat or something that belongs on a river. It looks like an ocean ship that got lost and went up the river. But anyways, river cruises are still going on and are available for purchase. Prices have gone up a little bit. Demand has gone up considerably, because what has happened is that this bankruptcy of American Queen Voyages has caused a lot of attention to river cruises. There's been a lot of basically free PR, and you've got like people like me going on the river and on the radio and saying, in my opinion, a river cruise is a superior product to an ocean-going cruise. And to that subject, next week, we will have a representative from American Cruise Lines on board with us to talk a little bit about it. And finally, last item in the news today, Alaska Airlines has announced a lot of changes to their mileage award plan. They haven't gutted it as much as Delta did theirs, but and there are some good things like stopovers, and of course they have reciprocal arrangements for elite upgrades on American Airlines. So there are some good things in the Alaska mileage plan changes. If you are an Alaska flyer and you collect miles or points from Alaska, you might want to check into that. And that is your travel news for today.
All right, and we are the Travel Guys. Don't forget our website. A lot of good stuff there at TravelGuysRadio.com. Coming up in a couple of minutes, we're going to be talking about the TSA testing self-serve security stations. But before we head that direction, I want to remind you that every Monday, Rudy's Hideaway offers a two for $65 dinner special. This is pretty spectacular. The options are pretty special. You get choices, including lobster tail, prime rib, filet bourguignon, chicken marsala, or golden fried prawns. Now, each entree includes Boston clam chowder, baked potato, vegetable, and San Francisco sourdough. And, of course, as always,
there is the everyday special, the Travel Guys special. If you go in and mention that you listen to the Travel Guys and you'd like the lobster special, you can get a 6-ounce lobster tail with all the trimmings for just under $30, $29.95 a person. If that isn't the best restaurant deal in Sacramento, I challenge you to tell me what is.
Rudy's Hideaway and Lobster House. Got crab there, too. And by the way, that's just off Highway 50 at Hazel. More on the Travel Guys coming right up. And yes, live and direct to you from our little Rancho Cordova studios, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, underwritten by Sports Leisure Vacations. Again, TravelGuysRadio.com. Lots of good information to make you a smarter traveler, always there. All right, Mark, what do we got coming up here?
Well, just before we get into our Smarter Traveler stuff, there was a story in the news at the top of the hour. It's kind of a big story. A plane on an international flight. Pilot was being served a meal, accidentally hit a switch. Plane went into a big dive. 50 people were hurt. A couple of them really seriously hurt. Had to be taken off the plane in an ambulance, and people are kind of wondering what happened. And the explanation from the airline so far has been that, well, during the meal service, the switch that was normally protected somehow got hit, and it caused the plane to go into a dive. I will tell you that online, there are a number of discussions about this incident. Some of them, some of the input has come from former pilots and flight attendants who I'm guessing would know a little bit more about the cockpit than I would. But they have suggested that perhaps it was not a meal service that was going on in the cockpit. I wasn't there, and I don't know. But that some pilots have suggested that there's no way that switch could have, that a meal service, there's no way that switch could have gotten thrown. It's protected. And they said there had to be some other activity going on in the cockpit besides a meal service, unless everybody was scraping the meal off the floor. So anyways, that's enough about that. Let's get into our topics here for Smarter Traveler today. First of
TSA's,
all,
what's this deal with the TSA? What are they testing?
Well, they're testing self-service or more self-service security lanes. So in other words, there wouldn't be as many, there would still be people at security because there's still going to be folks who have issues with their IDs, their boarding pass, you know, they can't get through. And there's going to need people who need help with other aspects of the whole getting through thing. I have titanium in my hip, so I have to go to a special line and go through a special screening machine so that they can, you know that I'm safe to get on the airplane. So what's happening is they're trying – if you think about TSA and you stood there and you looked at Sacramento TSA at 6 o'clock in the morning when it's busy as heck and people are buzzing all over the place in Terminal A or Terminal B, there's a lot of people involved. So people equal money. If you could do that with fewer people and still be safe, it would cost you less money. Also, if you could do the system as I have pre-check, so it's I get through a lot quicker than I used to. Even in pre-check, I get through a lot quicker than I used to. People who travel with me who go through the regular lines seem to get through quicker than they used to in many cases. And I think what TSA is trying to do here is they're not trying necessarily to eliminate jobs, although I'm sure there's a fiscal side to this. What they're trying to do is free up people so that they can concentrate on things that are more important in regards to security. I'm sure this would result in some loss. And I put in a note to our friends Sid and Dale at TSA, and hopefully they'll come on with us in the next couple weeks and give us some insight into this. But the idea is that there would be fewer pat-downs. There would be fewer needs for secondary screening when this system is developed, and that would make it faster to get through without sacrificing any safety. And what the TSA is saying, in fact, the system as they have created this new kind of self-service, what do they call it, self-sufficient, which I thought was kind of a cute word for self-service. But so it's going to be a while. It was just shown off for the first time in Las Vegas last week. And so I'm sure they're going to get some input out on it. I'm sure it'll be rolled out to be sampled at a couple smaller airports as they go through this process. But it's a technology upgrade to the screening process, which is going to result perhaps in a less human presence, at least in places, you know, maybe you put your own boarding pass or ID underneath the scanner rather than hand it to somebody who then puts it under the scanner and waves you through. Maybe you just put it under and a bell goes off or an alarm if something is not right, and otherwise nobody needs to see you. And if you're self-sufficient and you can get through, put your stuff on the belt and walk on through, why then maybe you don't require people. So nothing to get too alarmed about yet, but I thought it was an interesting story that changes at TSA might be coming.
Fascinating. You know, there's my mind immediately goes to properly identifying the person with the driver's license or the boarding pass to make sure that the right person is coming on board. But with face recognition and all that, I can see things really technology continuing to step up and eventually making it a lot faster and easier for us to make it through the TSA. That way you can get to the gate way ahead of time and stand around doing nothing for even longer.
Oh, God. Here we go. All right. I wanted to just take a couple minutes here and talk a little bit about spring training. We were down there last week. Lots of people go from Northern California. The A's and the Giants, at least the A's for now, are still a Northern California team. Lots of folks go down to just enjoy sunshine. There are lots of other reasons to be in Phoenix at this area at this time of the year. But I thought I'd share a couple things that I picked up on. First of all, if you're going to spring training, you're going to be alarmed at the ticket prices. We paid $70 to see the Giants and the Dodgers, more than that to see the Giants and the A's. Concession prices, of course, are ridiculous. So if you are going to spring training, know that you need to buy tickets in advance, and they're going to be expensive. Seating at the ballparks is limited. These are not huge stadiums. They hold 8,000 to 10,000 people. Northern California aren't the only people coming. Lots of people are coming from cold weather destinations. So make sure that you consider buying your tickets in advance. Another thing to consider is it can get hot at spring training. Many of the parks have some seats in the shade. So if that's important to you, ask when you're buying your tickets whether or not the seats are in the shade, or do your homework and make sure that you find out. The ballparks are spread all around the Phoenix area. Just know that from wherever you're staying, it might be an hour or so to get to a ballpark. Also consider traffic flows and rush hour, things like that. We had some great dining experience. We snuck over to the Phoenician, which is a really fancy hotel with a $1,300 a night room rate. That's what they start at. We went for breakfast there, and that's something that you can do. You don't have to stay in a fancy place. You can go to fancy places. Great food at Rustler's Roost. Great place for steaks and stuff. Great view of the valley if you go down to the greater Phoenix area. We stayed at the Phoenix Airport Marriott Hotel on 44th Street. It's kind of in the middle. So if you're no matter what ballpark you're going to, great places. Also, the Mesa Historical Museum has a great spring training exhibit. So if you're down for spring training, that's something else that you want to consider. That's as much stuff as I could cram into 2 minutes.
Well, we might talk more about this before the program's over. Always good information from spring training. Go Giants. All right, it's Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, coming up after a short timeout. Chris Elliott joins us. Got a lot of really good, smarter traveler stuff to talk with Chris about. That's coming up. Hello again, it's Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for tuning in. By the way, you can find a link to our special guest today at TravelGuysRadio.com. And away we go, many hours away, to a fun place, Rio de Janeiro. And back with us once again, Chris Elliott, consumer advocate. Welcome back to the Travel Guys, Chris.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing good. Before we get into our topics here, give me the update from Rio de Janeiro just for a moment.
I'm in a neighborhood called Leblon, which is right next to Ipanema, which is right next to Copacabana. We're right along the shore. It's the middle of the summer. We're having a heat wave. And yesterday we went up and saw Christ the Redeemer, the big statue up there. So So far, so good. We haven't gotten ourselves killed yet. Everyone's been nice. Loving the food here, too. It's great.
I like that. Haven't been killed yet. That's a great. By the way, if you go to Chris's Elliott Confidential, there's an audio clip there and all kinds of information about his trip there in Rio de Janeiro. I spent the morning checking it out.
We probably should mention here before we get into our deep subjects that Chris runs a website, Elliott.org, right, Chris? Two L's and two T's?
Yes, Elliott2Ls and 2Ts.org, the Elliott Report, where I help consumers if they get into trouble, not just travelers, but anyone who has a problem. We were just talking about this before we went on the air about we love debates. So we have lots of very polite discussions on the site.
Yeah, it's a good site. You can be a part of it without putting up any shekels, but if you've got a few of those too, there are wonderful other levels that you can get into and get more information and stuff. Elliott.org is where you can find more information. And especially if you're a consumer and you've got an issue and you're not really sure where to start or who to call, Chris has all kinds of lists of inside people that you should how to and who to talk to, by golly, you might find that you can solve your own problem. Wouldn't that be amazing? Chris, I have it's been a while since we talked. Got a few topics here. You opined about a week ago about people booking on apps. And being a guy in his 60s who sometimes is challenged by apps on phones, I think I'm slowly getting a little better at it. But the other day I bought two sets of tickets on Air Canada on the app about 40 minutes apart because I wasn't sure I'd done it the first time, right? The first time. Ended up with two sets of tickets, had to go back and cancel one. So I thought about your wisdom here about booking on an app and being careful about pushing the button too quickly. What can you share with us about app travel booking?
Yeah, you know, fortunately, and a lot of people don't know this, you can cancel your flight within 24 hours. As long as it's within 7 days of your flying time, you're allowed to do that. It's actually a federal regulation that requires airlines in the United States to do that. But yeah, I had, as you know, I have a newsletter called Elliott Confidential. That's the one that you pay for, but there's also a free version. And so last Monday we had a great story, I thought, about just some of the mistakes that people make when they book on an app. And it's amazing how many people, you know, what kinds of mistakes people make. If you're not completely comfortable with an app, you might actually enter the wrong date. And we had a woman actually who did that. She entered, she was going to make a booking for Minneapolis, and instead she booked her hometown in California, which was Monterey. And the two had very similar airport codes, so we know how that mistake happened. But it's the number one thing that people don't do is they don't double check their reservation when they're making it on an app. They just click, and they're like, oh, this screen, I don't have to look at this. And then you press buy, and it's done. And she had booked a non-refundable car rental reservation. And those, unfortunately, you cannot you can't change them or you can't cancel them. It's not like airline reservations. Once you made it, you own it.
Wow. Wow. And that you point out something really good there. I hope that didn't get by folks. Anytime you buy a domestic airline ticket, you have 24 hours to cancel it without penalty and to get a refund, a cash refund. You don't have to accept a voucher. You can get a cash refund. Another thing that to be really careful on, I'm booking on Air Canada. In Canada, instead of day, month, year, it's month, day, year for your birth date. So it's real easy. And to put in, and when you're asking for seats on a plane, you put in day, month, year, you get an entirely different set of fares and different everything than if you put it in right. So that's just a little tiny cultural difference between the U.S. and Canada that could get you in all kinds of trouble if you were booking and didn't know what you were doing in the first place. Okay, sorry to interrupt there.
Well, no, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was just going to say it's that way in the rest of the world where it's instead of day, month, year, instead of month, day, year, it's day, month, year. And so you really have to be careful when you're booking outside the United States or using an app that's primarily used by non-Americans or non-U.S. citizens, that you make sure that you've got the dates correct. Yeah. Otherwise, you could be booking the completely wrong date. And once, you know, like I said, once you've done it, it's yours, you own it, and there's no getting your money back.
Good advice.
And when that confirmation pops up in your email box, take a moment. Take a deep breath. Take a moment and look at it. Don't just give it a cursory glance. Go over it. Make sure the dates are right and everything that you've got there is correct. Because, again, as Chris points out, in some cases you're already screwed if you blew it. But with airlines and with hotels, in most cases, you can go back and make an immediate correction and not be in a liability situation. So, and the other thing you mentioned in your article was, shamelessly, if you're not really sure how to use an app, go get somebody who can. Find a grandkid or the guy down the street or in our office when there's
a teenager,
issue on a minor level. We yell for the youngest guy in the building. You know, Tyler, come in here, because that's the person who is most likely intuitively to know how to take care of the problem and keep you out of trouble. Okay, next topic. You have talked, we just lost a river cruising company here a few weeks ago, went bankrupt. We've got at least one airline, Spirit, that is running on fumes. You did an article about please stop booking trips with ailing companies. and how to tell how some signs that a company might be in trouble. Please share.
Yes. Well, we've had two major cruise industry bankruptcies. And they're not really huge, but they're significant. We Advantage that went under earlier this year, actually last year, late last year. And then we also had American Queen Voyages that just went under. And these actually, there were signs that this was going to happen. So one of the ways you could have avoided booking on them is just talk to a good travel advisor or travel agent, because everyone knew. It was an open secret that these companies were ailing. You could have also asked me, because we had a deluge of cases, no pun intended, for both of these companies before they went under, where refunds were taking forever, and I was having a hard time getting through to anyone at the company. That's usually a sign that things are about to get very, very bad. And unfortunately, when a company goes bankrupt like this, you become a claimant in bankruptcy court. So you you can't call the company and ask for a refund because the company no longer exists. Now, one of the things you can do is that you can dispute the charge on your credit card. And a lot of people did that very successfully, especially with Vantage, where they got their money back after filing a credit card dispute because the company no longer existed. So you definitely do want to keep an eye on the financial health of a travel company. Now, one other thing, too, the big thing is that a lot of these companies offered really, really good deals. Now, that doesn't necessarily work with Spirit, because Spirit is constantly offering like $9 airfares. But with Vantage and with American Queen, we saw some just too good to be true deals. And this is the really important thing, is that they were saying, we'll give you like a 10% discount if you pay cash. So if you will transfer using ACH or use your debit card. And the problem with that is that once you use cash, you can't file a credit card dispute. That money belongs to them. So that left a lot of people in a very bad position where the money was just gone.
Good info, good info. By the way, if you're just joining us, you're listening to The Travel Guys. Our special guest, Chris Elliott, consumer advocate. Where do we go from here, Mark?
Well, some really good wisdom there, Chris, especially about the cash thing. And in travel, if a company is offering a deal that appears too good to be true, this is a very competitive industry, and prices are a little bit different, but not a lot different. You know, you go on Priceline and you go on Booking.com, you compare hotel rates, you're going to find rates are a few dollars off, probably. Little difference from each other. But if you go someplace and you see a $200 hotel for $79 or a $3,000 cruise for $12.99, you know, it's time to do a little bit of homework and make sure that you're not getting yourself into a situation that you wish that you hadn't gotten into. All right, one more here, Chris, before we let you go. This happened to me on a flight back from Phoenix last week. We got to Sacramento, the plane landed, and before the ding had gone and the light had gone off, which is the signal for everybody to get up, people started charging down the aisle, and one lady just about, she had a big backpack, how she'd gotten it out of the overhead and onto her back and down the aisle, but just about knocked me flying, ran into another guy and knocked him back into his seat, never apologized or anything. What is the deal with folks who, I mean, I understand tight connections and all that stuff, but if you're in the back, there are lots of ways to get into the front part of the plane. I mean, admittedly, they cost a little bit of money. But I'm not talking about first class here. You've got a tight connection or something. But what is the deal? You called it exit envy.
Yes, I call it exit envy. It's true. People want to get off the plane now more than ever. They want to get off the plane. Sometimes they do have tight connections. The thing is that, as you know, because you're a travel industry insider, you know that airlines have what are called minimum connection times. And that's all factored in. If your itinerary is connected, you're not going to get left at the airport. They'll find a way if you do miss the connection of getting you on the next available flight at no additional charge. But people get a little antsy. The one thing I forgot in this story and that I'm going to tell you right now is that why are people going to get off the plane? Because they're on a plane, and planes don't have any, and I didn't mention this in the story and I really should have. It's planes are, they are, there's no space for people, no personal space, no leg room, and they just want to stand up and move around and get off. I understand that. But the exit envy thing is much more than that. I think it's more of a me first attitude, is that I'm entitled to get off this plane first. I don't even need a good reason why. I just want to get off the plane. I've heard people give all kinds of reasons. When I was pushed over on my last flight, like you, I got pushed over. Someone said that he had to make a connection. The problem was I saw him at the luggage carousel about 15 minutes later, and I'm like, you know what? You just wanted to get off the plane. You just gave me any old reason. It wasn't even true. So, you know, people are doing this. I think it's just that they're thinking of themselves and trying to get off the plane first.
If you buy a seat that has a tight connection. I have a 38-minute connection in Chicago coming back from Washington on Wednesday night that I'm a little bit nervous about. 38 minutes, that's a little tight.
Yeah.
I would never, ever do that for a group, but somehow I did it for myself. It's the last flight of the night and hoping to get back. If you've got a tight connection, consider... If you've got a tight connection and you did it because you're saving some money, consider the fact that if you miss the flight... That may cause some problems. You can buy up. You can buy an Economy Plus, an upgraded economy seat in Southwest. You can pay up to be one of the early boarders. There are some things that you can do to mitigate that situation. And the other thing you can do is if you really have to go to the bathroom or it's life or death to catch that next flight, you could say, excuse me, as you came up the aisle. That would go a long ways towards knocking people over and heading on to the next person.
Or you could even talk to a flight attendant, and I've seen that happen where someone says, hey, I've got a connection to get, and sometimes on one of the big legacy carriers, when you're just about to land, the flight attendant will get on the PA system and will say, okay, I have some I'm going to announce the gates now, and after that, they'll come through the aisles, and you can say, excuse me, sir, is it possible? I'm trying to catch this flight. I know we're a little bit late. Can I get off the plane early? And what they'll do is say, we have some people. I've been on a plane where this has happened. They'll say, we've got some people who have a connection to make. Please remain seated while they get off the plane. And that certainly is an option, too. And they will do that for you.
And you can use your back to that app thing. While you're on the plane, taxiing to the gate, you can use the app to pull up like what your connecting gate is. You might find out that you're all huffy and puffy about something and your connecting gate happens to be by luck right next door. Or you may know that it's a long ways away. There are ways to find out information that will make you a more informed traveler before that plane stops at the gate and you have to start making priorities. You know, am I going to use the bathroom? Am I going to get something to eat? Or am I going to catch the airplane? Chris, I wish you well. I thank you for all of your input on different subjects. Remind our listeners that Chris used to have a column in the Sacramento Bee where he solved consumers' problems every week. That's what he does online. Elliott.org is the name of the website. There's a link at the Travel Guys website if you forget it. And thank you again, sir, for all of your time. We will catch up with you in another foreign land as you head around the planet in a few weeks. Take care, my friend.
All right. Thank you.
All right, we are the Travel Guys. Once again, you can find a link to Chris Elliott and all he does at TravelGuysRadio.com. When we return, Ghostbuster Tour in New York City and, some tips on flying this summer. Going to be a little busy right here on the Travel Guys. And a good morning, almost afternoon. Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacation. Again, TravelGuysRadio.com, where you can go to links to our special guests and so much more. You know, Ghostbusters has become kind of quite a phenom. Movie came out a long, long time ago. They had multiple versions of it. Of course, all shot in New York City. Big stuff and puff guy walking through the streets of New York. It was pretty crazy. And now, I understand there is a Ghostbusters tour. Mark, what do you know about this?
There is. The original movie turns 40 this year. And
okay.
Confession, I watched it for the first time last week on cable. Because when I saw this, I thought, well, and then I saw that the movie was on. I thought, well, I probably ought to watch this, so I'm going to talk about the radio.
Yeah, how did you avoid that?
The fifth of the franchise of Ghostbusters, the fifth film, comes out next week. on March the 22nd. There is a company called On Location Tours that will take that does a tour of Ghostbuster sites in New York City. So there are a whole bunch of them, some of them very familiar sites, but we'll tell you the Ghostbuster angle to all of it. I put a link to it at TravelGuysRadio.com. So if you are a Ghostbuster fan and you are headed to New York City anytime soon, you might On Location Tours has a tour that will take you to many of the sites. Let's see here. We had a listener who sent in a note to me, and I really appreciate this. Edwin sent a note, said we were talking about the tipping machines, you know, on air where they hand you the machine and then you get to decide what your tip you're going to give while the server is standing there. So he had this experience, and he selected a percentage tip and pushed done. But then he took the step of manually calculating the tip amount, and he got a different number than the machine did. He said it was off by 2 or 3 percentage points in the restaurant's favor. So a 10% tip would ring up as 12-13, and a 15% would ring up as 16-17, etc. I strongly suspect that the machine was intentionally programmed to be off like that. I brought it to the attention of the server, and she just kind of poo-pooed it. So, a couple of things that I might suggest here. The reason it might have been off a little bit from what you... Some restaurants are asking you to tip on tax. So
right.
Let's say the bill comes out and it's $16, and the tax is $1.50. So the restaurant wants you to tip on $17.50, which to me is baloney. I'm not tipping you on tax. That has nothing to do with what I bought or the service level or anything. So what I'm looking for is the actual cost of the meal, and then I will tip you whatever I'm going to tip you based on that. So it's possible that the machines in the restaurant that Edwin went to were programmed to include tax, which, depending on where you were, would add a few notches to the cost of the meal. It's also possible that it was programmed wrong, intentionally or unintentionally. So Edwin was just kind of pointing out that be careful because the machine may not do exactly. But in some cases, I've found I have this when I have dine with groups in restaurants. They will bring me a bill, and the bill for the group is $1,200, and the tax is $150. And they want me to tip based on $13.50, and I have to point out to them that, no, I will tip you based on what the food cost, but not on – we're not going to include the government share, too. So the tip machines are just a whole joy. Those are the worst thing to come along in a long time, and now they're popping up for all kinds of things that you wouldn't normally tip on.
You know, you get a receipt at the very bottom of the receipt, especially if it's a large bill, and it'll show you the breakdown so that you don't have to do the math, and it'll show you how much 20% is or whatever. Is that calculated on the total price, or did they do the math and just billing you on the without tax?
I've seen it both ways. So that's okay. Why when Edwin points this out, it's possible that the reason this was a little different was because the machine was programmed to include the tax. If it is before the tax, then the number's obviously going to be a little bit different. But to his point, keep an eye on these things. And the other thing is, as we talked about last week, do not be bullied into tipping somebody that you wouldn't normally tip or tipping more. You know, tip what's appropriate, smile at the server, hand on the machine back. The service is over. So there's nothing bad that can happen to you at that point, I might suggest you. Okay, real quickly here, some tips for dealing with potential schedule chaos in the summer. One is when you're buying an airline ticket for summer travel, with the weather and thunderstorms and stuff becoming more prevalent and more unpredictable, avoid connections. Do nonstop flights. Consider morning flights, early morning flights. Carry-on luggage, larger planes tend to have priority over smaller planes. We'll talk some more about this in the future. St. Patrick's Day is tomorrow. I have a little St. Patrick's Day greeting. May the road rise up to meet you. May the wind always be at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face and rains fall soft upon your fields. Until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. To all of our Irish listeners.
I love that one.
Yeah. In the meantime, go ahead.
No, go on.
In the meantime, dance like nobody's watching. I hear the music coming up.
There you go. All right, my friends, thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week to talk river cruises right here on The Travel Guys. Thanks for joining us. Stay well.